Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Father, this morning we thank you. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for bringing us together again. Thank you for blessing us with yet another week. We pray the Lord you will speak to our hearts today. You affect our lives. It will cause us to be stable and to be rooted in the kingdom of God. Thank you for changing our lives. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, yeah. Wow, you may be seated, please. I'm glad to be here this morning. You know, one of the reasons why we have two services is to have room for growth. All right, there's no other reason why we have two services. The main reason is that, I mean, we have room. Somebody say room. We have room for growth because there are some people who like early services like you. Isn't it? You come in early, you leave early. It's people like that. Others also like to sleep a little, you know, longer and then come later. That some people even like evening services, and we're going to start evening services again. Some people don't like to go in the morning, or they just like to come in the afternoon because then they finish going to the market. They like to go to Parika Market, get all them cheap things. All the way. I mean, Sunday morning, you'll travel all the way to Parika and get the cheap things. It's also another lifestyle. Because there are some people, no matter what you preach, they will not stop going to market on Sunday morning. So then what you do is that God, you know, God is a very good God. So he makes way where there seems to be no way. So then there's an evening service so that you can go to market if you feel nice to go to market on Sunday morning. I don't think I want to go to market on a Sunday morning, but if you feel nice, you can go to market on a Sunday morning, and then you come Sunday evening for Sunday evening service. Do you get it? So the different services is to allow room as we accommodate every kind of lifestyle. And things have changed from since the disciples were left alone to start the church. These days, people work on Sundays. You know, there are some people who don't have the faith to not work on Sundays. Me, I will not work on Sunday anywhere. No matter the millions or the trillions or the zillions you give me. There are some who, what do you want me to do? They want to work on their Sundays. Do you get it? So you go to work by 3, 4 o'clock, you are back. And you can come for the evening service at 6 or 7 o'clock. So there's no excuse to say that, oh, I can't come to church. Or the church I belong to, I mean, because I work, I can't go. No, we will give you options so that one day when you stand before God, you can't say that you didn't have the opportunity. So the first service, it must grow. Only two people said amen. I said the first service must grow. And it must grow. This place must be filled on the first service. You must invite somebody for the first service. So if you are seated here, this is a different church. Those who come later, they are also different people. There's a different. This first service is different. It's comprised of a different congregation than the second service people. So I want you to understand that this is your service and you must participate in this service. Are you with me? We're going to change things around a little bit so that you can do something here for the first service. So that you don't have just the same faces all the time. Because it's like we've rented people who run the show from morning to night. That's not the idea. We don't want to have things like that. We will, as long as you decide to be part of this first service, then we want you to also be involved in this first service. But you must be committed. Because the reasons why people are on stage all the time, the same faces, because those are the people who come when you need them. Some of you are part-time tourist kind of church members. You come part-time or you are a tourist. But that's not how God wants you to be. You get it? So we would like to have you do something in the first service. Yeah. So I would like to know those who like the first service. I know your face, but you know, you should make it clear. Pastor, I am I'm a bona fide member of the first service. If we are having a competition between the first and second service, you can count on me. I'll represent the first service. I need people like that. So that we can also, open our arms to you for you to be able to do some of the things. Because you must do something in the house of the Lord. Turn to somebody and say, you must do something in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that is a new thing we're trying to do. Because I'm sure many of you or many people don't understand why we have two services. It's just so that you can comfortably choose which one you want. It's either GTNT or Digicel. There should be a third telecom so that you can have the evening service too. We need options so we can serve God with gladness. So I need you to be committed to the first service and bring people. When you see people, you're inviting them. Tell them I'm taking you to the first service. It's 7:30. That's our church. Don't tell them about 9:30. There's no 9:30. It's only 7:30 for you. You must tell people that 7:30 service is the best. Early morning you give. When you wake up, you don't do much. You just come to church. And then when you go and give others your second best. Your first best is for the Lord. I say your first best is for the Lord. Because those who come for the second service, they would have done all that they want to do, cook. Blah, blah, blah. So by the time they come, they are tired. God really is not excited about what they are presenting. But if you wake up so early and you come fresh. I say you come fresh. Who wants somebody to minister to them when they are tired? Normally when you are tired, you are ministering. It's not nice. It's not exciting. Are you with me? How many are going to help the church, the first service to grow? Amen. All right, so we're looking at loyalty and disloyalty. We're looking at faithfulness and unfaithfulness. That's another name, if you see loyalty and disloyalty. Another word for loyalty is faithfulness and unfaithfulness. Now, loyal people are blessed. Anytime you are loyal, you receive a blessing from the Lord. When you are disloyal, you don't receive a blessing from the Lord. So we are looking at how to be faithful. And there are different ways you can be faithful. There are many of us who are faithful, but your faithfulness can also be upgraded. You can upgrade your faithfulness. Because there's always room for improvement. Is that not what they say? Always. You can't just be in one place all the time. Even the body... the cells of the body multiplies. Growth continues. Even if you don't grow tall again, you grow wider. By all means, there must be growth in your body. If you can't say that, oh, I'm not getting taller, so you're not growing. You should watch yourself properly. There are some areas that are increasing in size. Yeah. So there's always growth even in the body. And once the church is the body of Christ, the body must also grow. Are you with me? The body must also grow. Now, you must decide to be a faithful church member. There are so many women in this world. All types. But the moment you choose one, you have to be faithful to that one. Church is quiet. There are so many men in this world. You have the choice to be a sweet man or a sweet girl. You have that choice. Why not? I mean, if you want to, I mean, yesterday I heard a word, is it pom pom or something? I didn't, that's the first time in my life I've heard that word. Yeah. Aloysius. Yeah. I mean, it was a husband and wife. Hey, that's what it means. Okay, all right. Forgive me if I said something bad, okay? Father, forgive me of my sins right here in the church. The people are laughing, so please. That words in Guyana. Hey. The first time I heard this indecent language, it starts with an S. I thought it was, you know, it's like, you know, America said, you know. So I think I came to church and I was asking, why? They said, no, Pastor, that word is not nice. I heard some taxi drivers, they were always saying it. Every sentence they say S. So I thought it was something to make you, it's like you're expressing yourself well, you know. Not doing that is such a bad word. Hey, guys, we are too powerful. And there are some of you, you look so nice on a Sunday morning, when you get vexed. Hey! And all the alphabets, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Williams. Hallelujah. You know, so once you choose, that's what I'm saying, you can decide to just, anything nice you see, you go with it. You can, it's your life. It's your choice. But if you decide to choose one, hello, if you decide to choose that chubby, dark-skinned lady, then you cannot decide to like another light-skinned, slim lady again. Because you must, when you choose, you must stay with the choice. Otherwise, you're not correct. You had something wrong with your head, because it's like you like this, but you don't like this, and then you like this, you don't like this. So we don't know what kind of person you are. And if you understand what I'm trying to say, yeah. Now, if for example, if every Sunday I have a different woman sitting on the chair that my wife sits on, I'm sure many of you said this man something wrong with him. Many of you won't come back to the church. You say, hey, last Sunday was somebody else. Even though Solomon had 1,000, but you will not forgive me at all. You crucify me. Even if I have 3. Say, okay, 1, 2, 3. You say, hey, that church. Yeah, but King Solomon had 1,000. Hey, it wasn't a problem at all. He was one of the mighty kings in Israel with his 1,000 women. But these days, it's not like that. So you make a choice. It's the same way when you choose a church. And you must always make a choice about the church. Once you choose a church, you must stay with the church. You must stay until the end of your life, because it's a spiritual decision. It's very, very important. Yeah. This is my church. And you stay in the church and be a faithful member. You give offerings. You pay your tithe. You help somewhere. You volunteer your time, your services. That is what you call a faithful church member. Until death. There may be times that you may probably have to leave the church. There are reasons why people leave churches. And because it's a church, it's not like you are condemned. It's like life imprisonment. No, there are times where, you know, maybe God will move you on to another level. Or maybe the church has stopped preaching about Jesus as a Christ and they're doing all kinds of things. I mean, you get a lot of these WhatsApp videos and things on Facebook of pastors and churches. I don't know why people are so interested in pastors and churches like that. Somebody sent, I'm on a group, something. So somebody sent a WhatsApp of an interview of an African pastor in another African country. I don't want to mention the countries. And the name of the church is Breast Harvest Church International. Now, You have not heard anything yet. And the picture of the pastor ministering, his hands were on a lady's two breasts. So it was a morning show in this African country. So the lady called the pastor, and then she said that she has a problem, and a girlfriend gave her the number. The pastor didn't know that he was on air. So a friend gave her that number, that he's a very powerful man, he can help her. And she said, "Oh yes, I can help you." So then he said, "Well, what is your problem?" And then the lady said, "I can't get a husband. I'm looking for a husband." I said, "Oh, we are specialized in that." And then he said, "You know, what is the problem?" He said, "Oh, anytime she dates a man and is getting serious, then the man will break up the relationship." Then the man said, the pastor said, "The spirit of rejection is in your life. So we have to suck it out." Then the lady said, "Yeah, really?" He said, "Yes." And he said, "So what is the name of your church?" And the pastor said, "Breast Harvest International." So then she said, "Oh, so how are you going to suck the rejection?" He said, "Oh, you, we suck your breast. Yeah, we, hey." So then she said, "My friend said when I'm coming to church, I shouldn't wear bra." She said, "Yes, you can't wear bra because we have to suck rejection out of your breast." Then the girl turned and said, "What? So who are you? Are you a pastor? Are you a man of God? You know, you are on radio now. My name is AABCCC. I am a radio host and you are on air now. Why? You call yourself a man of God? Tell me which scripture does the Bible say you must..." It's like, "Lady, you see, you want help or you don't want help?" Hey! The name of the church is Breast Harvest International. Hey! Now, you cannot be in such a church. So, that may be the reason why you leave a particular church, because the pastor is sucking. No, it's there's another church. I don't know. You see, there's so many things in this world, and people use that to, and that's what makes pastors' work so difficult. Because people see all of that and they doubt when you say you're a pastor. There's another church, they also show the pastor casts out devils by stamping on the people. He stamps on them. And then he stamps. And they say, "What are you doing?" I'm stamping the demon out of the person. And he makes them eat wild things, insects and all kinds of things. There's the grass one is there too. Yeah, they rush, they go out like us and preach. Say something, you all rush out and you eat the grass like that. It's like the man of God is speaking. Now, you cannot be part of a church like that. The moment you enter a church like that, you see, you feel that, say, this thing here. No, it's not for me. You can leave, and you must leave. So there are reasons why when people will leave churches. Now, let's put all of these things aside. You are in a very good church. Why should you leave? If you're in a church where the pastor is not doing breast harvest. Mary. I just stomping demons out of people, making people eat grass and all of that. If you are not in a church like that. I was listening to Apostle Joel explaining the pillars, 10 pillars of the Shepherd's Congress. He was explaining, he was talking about Bishop. And he said, can you relate with it when we say we are buying, let's say, toilet tissue in bulk? I say, yes. You go and you buy a bale of toilet tissue. And then you can buy rice in bulk. You buy sugar in bulk. Then he asked the shepherd, have you ever heard of somebody who builds in bulk?
Yeah, somebody who has 400 church buildings at the same time they are being built. He said, he asked the shepherds, have you heard of anybody like that in your life? Not even a government of a country can build 400 buildings at the same time. And that's what Bishop is doing. Yeah. 400 church buildings. Yeah. So he was trying to bring our minds to the kind of person God has brought us into the life, the kind of pastor that God has given to us. He builds buildings in bulk. Just like you buy sugar in bulk. Yeah. It's fantastic. So we are in a good church. So we are trying to teach you not to leave a good church. Why are you going when you are in a good church? If you have a good wife, why are you going? If you have a good husband, where are you going? In a good country, where are you going? I mean, nobody leaves something that is good. No, but we are saying that because we don't want to make you feel like we are forcing you to stay. You can leave whenever, whatever spirit speaks to you. But in leaving, you have to do things right. You have to do things right. I pray you don't leave. If you come and tell me you're leaving, I'll beg you not to go. But if you still insist that you're going, you have to do it properly. Because Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 13. The Bible says, should I go to my Bible? I should go to my Bible. It looks so. Looks like today, me getting nothing. No worries. I have a Bible. Thank God that I have a Bible myself. So that when people decide to be wicked on you, you can read your own Bible. Hey, we have one Bible. One, two, three. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. So if you are part of a church and the church has been a blessing to you, and you live in an evil way, because that always, anytime people leave church, they don't leave nice. Yeah, people don't normally leave the church nice. It's so interesting. Always there's something about people leaving the church. Why does it have to be something bad? Why does it have to have a bad connotation to it? That a church that you have been in for 2 years, 1 year, 8 months, whatever, 10 years, that now you are leaving. And then you live in a very bad way. The Bible says if you do that, you are rewarding evil for good. And therefore, evil shall not depart from his house, from your house. Evil shall be your roommate. Evil shall be your apartment mate. Evil shall be your car when you are driving. Evil shall be your water you drink. Evil shall be the air you breathe. I tell you, that's what the Bible says. So, just in case, as a last resort, you have to leave. You have to leave in a certain way. Amen. Amen. We are saying that, what is number one? If you leave, give what? Give ample notice of your intentions to leave, isn't it? Oh, you know, pastor, I'm going to go. And people do that. You know, sometimes people are traveling. They say, oh, I'm going to travel next week. And you give ample notice. That's how you behave properly. Properly. I'm going to go. I want to move on to another church. Give us time. Give us time. What's number two? When you leave, it must not be a surprise. It's like, Clive left the church. Why is there a surprise? Why should somebody who has been coming here, can I have some bass? It's too much high. Why should somebody who has been in this church all along, being part of the church, going and coming, going and coming, going and coming? It's a surprise. Why? You're married. Nice wedding. Everything. Lived together for years. Now one day when the man or the woman came home, your bags are not there. It's like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. In fact, the person who came to discover that can easily go mad. Because, what's this? He didn't say anything. Just like that. Even simple boyfriend girlfriend relationship that some people have, if your banner or your fella or your whatever doesn't call you a day or two, then it's like, what's going on? It's like, has he finished with me or what? Surprise. So do not allow your leaving to be a surprise. Number three. If you leave what? If you leave, leave alone. Turn to someone and say, if you ever leave, leave alone. Don't organize a group with you. If you are going, it's you who is going. Go and leave all of us alone. Number four. Don't try to win the hearts of people long before you leave. You see, you know that you're going to go. And then you start making disciples. You start talking to people. Man, this church these days is money. It's money. It's money. It's money. It's everything money. When you come, it's money. Offerings, three offerings, four offerings, envelopes. Hey, man, you begin to make disciples, not knowing that you are on your way out. Don't steal the hearts of people, okay, before you leave. Number five, do you have that? Number five, be grateful to the church from whence you are departing. Be grateful to the church from whence you are departing. Remember, we looked at the story of Joseph, no, Jacob, and the story also of Moses. Both of them had to leave at a particular point in their life. They were staying with people. They had to leave. Jacob did it wrongly. He did not leave. He did not say any bye-bye. He didn't, you know, do anything proper thank you, you know, protocol. It was 3 days after he had left his uncle's house that his uncle discovered that the guy has left the house with his two daughters without telling him. And he chased him. Moses, on the contrary, when he left Jethro, he went to seek permission. He went to seek release from his father-in-law that he is now going to Egypt to tell Pharaoh, let my people go according to the word of the Lord. So there's a way to behave. Yeah. Do not be grateful to the church from whence you are departing. Be grateful. I said be grateful. At least. You got a wife. Yes. It's true. Some people came here and they got married in the church. Yeah. When you are leaving, you should think about all those things. Where I got married. Where my baby was dedicated. You are very ungrateful. When after all these things, Pastor has prayed for you before. At least if nothing at all, I have preached to you before. Yes. I've advised you before. Maybe those who come for advice. There are some people who don't like advice. So you may not be able to say something like that. But you cannot be ungrateful to the church from where you are living. You can't. You cannot. You should be grateful. You should be grateful. You must be some individual. In this life, you must be grateful and you must behave yourself properly. Number six. Do not muddy the waters you have drunk from, leaving behind a group of confused people. Do not muddy, M-U-D-D-Y, the waters you have drunk from, leaving behind a group of confused people. You don't know when you leave. You don't leave well. You confuse people. Is it one thing that is very clear about call phone is that there's a high turnover. People go and they leave. People go and they leave. People go and they leave. You want to question why? Why is it so? Some people get a job at call phone. You just came. People go and they leave. Clear connect. Unclear connect. Whatever you call themselves. Because we Guyanese are not used to the white man culture in our own country. If you are abroad, you do the work. You do it. You'll be grateful that they gave you the job. But what people don't know is that these kind of outsourcing companies, They have outsourced their businesses. They've left America. They've come to a country where they can pay people cheaper. So cheap calleth unto cheap. It's a scripture. Deep calleth unto deep. Because it's cheap labor. That work that people do at Calphone, they will pay somebody in America maybe not less than $2,000. But here they will just pay you maybe about most 400 US. Maybe 80,000 if they will even give you that much. $350, $300. How much? No, that's even too much. Probably 250, 50,000. Because there's only students, young people they employ. Cheap labor. But if they were to offer that job in America, they would have to pay a lot of money. So they come down here and they do. The only thing is that the investment reroute all the telecom connections so that when you call an American number, 0100, whatever, then you hear a Guyanese person on the line. Hello, good morning, can I help you? I said, the sound doesn't sound like a real American. And then it's 10 of them because the hours, the service level is very high. You can't miss a call. You have to finish a call well. There's a protocol. There's a script you have to go through. What is your name? You have to do this. Okay, can I, what's your, you said your name is Mary? Okay, Mary, please, where are you calling from? All kinds of things. And people get annoyed. Say, why you always all those information? And Americans, they will curse. And then we can't handle it. So, when you hear about Qualphone, you hear of turnover. Anytime you leave a church, you muddy the waters. A church is like waters, right? A water that is flowing. Nice, clear. If you step into the water and then you do that. You see what happens, especially if it's the water that's not even flowing. What happens is that you change the purity of the water. All the impurities, all the things that are under the water, when you do that, it comes up in the water. And it's not good for anybody to drink again. So when we say you muddy the waters, we are saying that your living causes so much problems, so many questions, so much confusion that people say, that church? Nah. Because somebody left and left with so much confusion. Ezekiel chapter 34. Yeah. And you mark it. Anybody who leaves a church and lives in a bad way becomes nothing. It's true. Anybody, Shiniza, who leaves a church that has been good to the person, lives in confusion, they don't become anything. I can give you names after names, even of our small church. Because you can't live like that. How can you have peace when you are disturbing something that belongs to God? How can you have peace about it? How can your life be long? When you are affecting negatively something that God has built all these years. Look at how people come to this church. People are jealous about our church. I met a pastor. He said, he was asking me, what is my strategy? He was saying that when he passes, he sees a lot of young boys. Because young boys don't go to their kind of churches. So he was asking, what is my strategy? I said, strategy? We don't have no strategy. It's the Holy Ghost. Then he said, I am trying to bring a problem. Because I'm trying to say that other churches that don't have young people, they don't have the Holy Ghost. I said, well, thou say yes it. What else should I say? Because the Bible said it is the Spirit that giveth life. And young people go to a place where there's life. And the life is not because of the music. The life is because of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives life. That's a strategy. And it's in the Bible. The Bible is available to all of us. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 18. I don't know whether you can fix this thing, this problem you have here, Brother Kofi. Well, we can't see the verses. We only see the chapter. The Bible says that seemeth it Does it seem a small thing unto you? Do you take it lightly? To have eaten up the good pasture. You have been around for 2 years. You have enjoyed the church and the messages and everything. Anointing, conventions, whatever. You have enjoyed. But you, after now that you say you are bored. After you say that the late night is too much. After you are saying that you are tired. You don't get time to eat. You don't get time for yourself. After you are now about to leave. Bible says, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures. Now, you don't like the late nights? Fine. You want to now feel good? Fine. You want to now save money because when you come to church, you can't save money? Fine. You want to leave because of that? Okay. But do not muddy the waters. Do not bring confusion in the church. Don't say things about the pastor. Don't say things about the church work. Don't say any bad thing about the church. Do not muddy the waters when you have to leave. And to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must, for the rest, you must what? What's this thing you can't give us? And to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul, you know, foul mouth. You must foul the residue with your feet. If the Bible says, do not muzzle the ox whilst he's treading the corn. I didn't understand that scripture for a long time. Until I decided to look at it. When you, the Bible says, don't muzzle the ox whilst he's treading the corn. It means that, you see, the donkeys that the Israelites used to use on their farms, because they eat the corns also, the things that they were using them to harvest and all of that. So, what they normally would do, that they would cover their mouth. So that when they work in a farm, they don't eat their produce. Because they eat the thing and they need their goods. Now, the Bible is saying that, no, you see, this is somebody who is helping you in the farm. So, something small that he will eat, allow it to eat. Allow it. You cannot eat the good things of the church. And then when you have to go, now you are making the church look bad. And that's how come many people go and they can't come back to the church, because the way they left wasn't good. If you leave the church well, you can come back without a problem. Yeah. Because as for going and coming, people go and come. This is not something that is weird or something. It happens. But if you leave in a certain way, you even know, you see, you go out there and realize that this is a good church, but you cannot still come back because of the way you left. Yeah, one sister who left the church was talking to somebody. And then, you know, and then the person was telling me later that, the person wants to come back. I said, come back for what? Is she sure? Because the person came back before and couldn't stay. So you're coming again to raise more questions. People will see you and say, oh, hi, but you have not processed your things well. You're just going to come around for another 2 weeks and go. Please, if you are not ready, just stay out there. We don't have a problem when people go and they come back. It's not a problem at all. This is the house of God. It's not a problem. You can't. Tiffany Accra, look, she's right there. She comes to church. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. Tiffany was one of my church workers. She was little like that when she was working. When she left the church, and then she good life started coming. Ah, look at how she's looking. Yeah, it's not a problem at all. She comes. It's fine. It's not a problem. But you see, when you are leaving and you, then a curse will follow you. I said a curse will follow you. Because you cannot do that to the church of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The church that he has given his life. His blood was shed for the sake of the church. You have come to the church to benefit and to receive blessings. And then now, be careful when you leave a church. Even if you leave another church and join us, you should know how you leave. Because people leave churches and join us all the time. Like people also leave us and join other churches all the time. It's a free flow. And we wish that you don't go. But if you are leaving, make sure that you can meet your pastor on the road and not have to look up or look somewhere else. Then you can say, "Hi, pastor. How are you?"
I used to see a pastor. And a lady joined our church. How many years ago? 10 years ago? From his church. So he discovered that. And anytime we meet, the first question you ask is, "How is sister so-and-so?" I said, "She's fine. She's happy. She's excited. Things are getting better." He said, "Okay." Every time. I felt from his questions that he was waiting for something to happen. Yeah. Yes. And not long, a while back, not so long ago, the lady went back to that church. And they said, "Our prodigal daughter has come back. After 10 years here in the church." So they reinstated her because she was some minister something in the church. Me, I've been with that lady here for 10 years. I don't see why they would call her a minister. Because a minister must work. And that lady, she's a parked vehicle. She can't work anymore. No, she can't work. I mean, if you ever give her something to do in the church, you'll be sorry because the lady's health is not in a good shape. So she needs to, you know, take it easy. You gotta come off the bench. You say, "I will not engage somebody who has a heart problem, whose pressure is high. How do I engage you? Late nights that it's like I will have to give you a special treatment, which I can't give you also." So then you have to, you know, go back to something very basic. Now, if you can't handle that, I don't know what to do because I don't want to kill you. I will not kill you. I will not be your murderer. I will not kill you. If you have problems with your heart, with your health, this high blood pressure, you have to take care of yourself. How many of you agree with what I'm saying? Now, if I say that you don't agree, I don't know what else you want me to do. So out of all of that and challenges in life, then she goes back to her former church and they welcome her back as a prodigal daughter. Then they reinstate her as a minister something. Because I told you, this man was always asking for her. So the man is excited. It's almost as if he's doing that to make me look bad. Why would you be in a church for 10 years and then leave? And then go and make another pastor excited. She's not going anymore because she can't handle her health. She doesn't go. So you reinstate her as whatever. It doesn't work. It's not too fantastic. My time is up. Please stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hey, you're not clapping at all. Next week you'll preach. And it will clap for you better. When you preach, we'll clap better for you. Hallelujah. Have you received something this morning? Yeah. There's no need to fight. Sometimes if it's child mother, child father, it's too much headache. Too much. Some one child that we have to take care of. Pressure, blood pressure raise. Why? It's not necessary. If the man has money, fine. If he doesn't have money, God, I mean, hey, you don't want to die early. You've come to the church. You say you don't want to be in the church anymore. Fine. Just don't let us even realize you are gone. Don't bring alligators into the water to try and arrest the sheep that are trying to come. Hallelujah. To be pleasing you, pleasing you, and that is all I really want to do. To
be pleasing you, pleasing you, and that is all I really want to do.
Father, thank you for teaching us. Thank you for explaining to us how we must behave, how we must organize ourselves in the house of the Lord. Because you don't want us to touch something that will release evil and a curse upon our lives. You love us all the same. And your church is one, whether the names are different or not. You don't want us to leave one and join another and carry a curse. Thank you for opening our eyes. We know how now to behave ourselves if we ever have to come to that last resort of leaving this wonderful fellowship and leaving this wonderful covering. We will do it properly. We'll do it well. We don't want to leave in a way that evil will continuously be in our lives. Thank you for speaking to us this morning. I give you praise that you've touched lives this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're here this morning. Before we close, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. You're not saved. You're not born again. If you're to die right now, you're not sure where you would go. Heaven or hell? Where would you go? Pastor, I'm not sure. Please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to go to heaven when I die. If you are here like that, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, you want to lift up your right hand. Pastor, please pray for me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I'm not saved. I'm not born again. If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. Just your right hand up high, and I'll pray with you. Your right hand up high. Your right hand up high. And I pray. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. If you are here like that, just your right hand. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come. Come to me. I want to pray with you. Come, my dear. Come.
Lead me come. To the cross. Where your come. Love
God bless you. Oh, clap for her as she comes. My. What a day.
To my knees. Lord, I lay me down.
God bless you.
Rid me of myself. I belong to you. Holy.
Close your eyes, pray this prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised him from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this prayer, my sins have been forgiven. I am a brand new person. I am a child of God, and my name has been written in the book of life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.